Okay, let's look at some basic English grammar when it comes to verbs on page 123. It says in 15.2, a verb is a word that describes action or a state of being. If it's an action, like I am studying, a state of being is the verb to be, is. They have person. There's three persons, first, second, third. Number, singular, and plural. Let's see, agreement. A verb must agree with its subject and person and number. This means that if a subject is singular, the verb must be singular. If the subject is third person, the verb must be third person. Except today, what example did we see where that breaks that rule in Greek? The neuter plural takes a singular verb in the Greek, but then we put it back and match plural to plural. Right? Okay. Time, past, present, future, you have that in verbs. I will versus I did. Tense, in English, refers both to the time and the form. So if you study your Greek right now, the verb is in the present tense. In the sentence, I see the ball, the verb sees in the present tense, and indicates an action occurring in the present time. Future tense, I will study. If you did it last night, it would be in the past tense. Often in English, you add an ed to a word to get it into the past tense, right? My 4 or 5 year old, she's now 5, so she's doing this less. She discovered the ed rule. You ever notice this in little kids? But then they don't learn that English is kind of a weird language, so you don't do that all the time. But she will add ed to everything when it's the past. You have to kind of pick up the knack of that some words don't work that way, but generally you add ed. So it's really cute when I hear her. I run, or something like that, you know. But she's learning English. Okay, 15.8 on 124. Aspect. The concept of aspect is a contribution from the relatively new field of linguistics. Aspect is not the same as tense, although it's related to this. There's a whole book down there you can get from Campbell, what basics of verbal aspect of biblical Greek do, right? What is the difference between saying, I studied last night, and I was studying last night? What's the difference?
One implies completion.
Or it's just statement of an event, study. Versus, I was studying.
Kind of ongoing,
right? And but it's still, both are in the past, right? So that's aspect. I studied last night, says an event. Oh, you just missed it. You missed all that aspect.
But there's a book on it in the footnotes. In the introduction.
Yeah, we're on 15, very modest.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Okay, so what? This is important. This is crucial building block for the rest of the semester. I'm not kidding.
How'd you get to 15.9 already?
We're moving. Okay. In Greek and in English, we'll talk about tense, which is at the bottom of 123. And then that could be like future, present, past tense. That has to do primarily with the time, but also with the form. Right? Like in studying nouns, the forms. So we will associate a form, a tense form, will tell us, part of that will tell us the time. So for example, we'll have a word, but if there's a sigma in the middle of it, that's a tense formative sigma. That means that the same word, but now it's in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll see a sigma. So this word here, I loose, luo. But if you see it like this, what is it?
I will
loose. Because it's now the future tense.
So the S means future tense?
Yeah. The sigma right here. We call this the tense formative. Yeah. Now, we are several chapters away from the future tense. So we're not learning this right now to retain sigma and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just talking about tense. Tense tells us time. And there is a form to it. The past tense, the future tense, the present tense. But we would expect to find a certain form of the words telling us when the time is. Okay? If we add in front of this, we just change time also. Right. So, what do you think we're going to call? What are we going to call this? A stem. Mm. So we, yeah. At the end was this here. What is that going to tell us?
Lexical form.
Yes, it's going to tell us person, because all verbs contain person, right? I, we, they. What else is it going to tell us?
Number.
Number. The difference between I and we. Both are first person, right? But singular or plural. So this is called a personal ending. We'll learn personal ending. So whatever the stem may be, that's the meaning, that's the word you're dealing with, right? That's the meaning of the word. Loose, to lose something. But then these personal endings will tell us if it's a first, second, or third, or if it's singular or plural. Yes?
So the ending only tells us those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
got it. Yeah. Now, but adding the tense formative or putting something like that in the front, it's actually going to be the eta, like that, which goes to the past. So those are changing the tense. Personal endings and tense forms all built on the stem. So if you have this cheater right here. Oh, helper. Sorry. Man, college was so hard. They didn't want us to do any of this stuff. And I get to seminary and they're like, oh, you can have your chart thing. And I'm like, what? I don't want to do that in college. Okay. So you can see right here is a master personal ending chart. That's what I'm talking about, personal endings. And if you look real close, you'll see it's luo is the one that they're using there. The same stem we had up there. So, okay. All right, we just skipped this whole chapter right here. We're talking about that stuff. So. But that's okay. Because I can tell you guys are understanding something. I didn't want to stop you from going that way. Yes?
Is this thing aspect? Is that covered
in brief by letters? Kind of. Let's keep going here a little bit. So aspect, let me just give you a keyword for aspect. Luo means I loose. Or if we don't know the person, we would say to loose. Right?
To loose?
To loose. Like to untie something. The other range of the meaning is destroy. So you could say I destroy, but Lou's saying it sounds a little nicer. And it sounds like Lou. Okay. So, I loosed, I loose, I am loosing, I was loosing. What tense is this?
Past.
Past tense, right? What tense is this?
Present.
Present. What tense is this?
Present.
What tense is this?
Past.
Past. Now. So, what's the difference between these two in the past? I loose and I was loosing.
Aspect.
That's the aspect. This one is kind of like a snapshot. If you imagine a Polaroid, it happened. This one talks about if you have a timeline, and here's the present, right? I loosed would be somewhere here in the past, your snapshot. I was loosing was happening, it was ongoing, but it was still in the past. That's aspect. So the difference between these is aspect. Another thing we'll call this is kind. So the kind of action. What kind of action? Ongoing or snapshots type? What's the aspect of it, or what kind of action is it? Not the time, but what kind? What's the aspect of it? Yes.
And so the names for what you just said is just completed and continuous aspect. That's what how the book is going to call it.
So now that I've said my version of it,
gotcha.
Let's read his version.
I like your version.
They're totally complimentary.
I like both versions.
Yeah. He says, I studied last night, says that an event was completed last night. It does not give you a clue to the precise nature of your study time, other than it was accomplished. If you use the event as a completed whole, this is called the completed aspect. It is usually used of events in the past. The completed aspect is formed in English by using the simple form of the verb I eat or I ate. I was studying last night describes the study as an ongoing action, a process, something that took place over a period of time. This is called the continuous aspect. And there's some other perfective and other words you could use there. The continuous aspect note is formed with helping words. I am eating. I was eating. 15:9. Completed and punctiliar. The completed aspect is not the same as what is called punctiliar. The punctiliar describes an action as occurring in a single point of time. So, some will draw that as a dot like that, punctiliar. This is more like a completed action. That's why I describe it as like a photograph. There's something going on there. But punctiliar, sometimes people will mistakenly use these words interchangeably, and that's why he's making a point out of this. It is like the difference between now we're going to confuse ourselves. Okay. Let's just read. It is like the difference between a movie, continuous, and a snapshot, punctiliar. While the completed aspect can describe an action that is in fact punctiliar, completed actions are not necessarily punctiliar. Only context such as the meaning of the verb can determine if the action is in fact punctiliar. A voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased. The aorist, egenata, is clear. Egenata. The voice came. It simply came. But the aorist in the last word, udakesa, is a real challenge. God, as it were, looks at the entire life of Jesus from beginning to end, even though it has not yet happened, and says, I am well pleased. This is the function of the aorist. Now, that probably confused you. So, I don't like the way you wrote that.
I'm writing a letter.
But, anyway, I like my, right now, for simplicity's sake, this is kind of an undefined happening in the past. And we'll reserve the word punctiliar to describe some other stuff. And a precise moment. And then ongoing. So the main differences between these two here. We'll slice that a little bit more later in life.
This one confused me. Punctiliar and a snapshot, both are happening at an instant in time. Mm-hmm. I don't see a distinction.
Well, because this snapshot could be this big.
See, more range to
maybe
time.
One.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example?
I'm going to define it.
A punctiliar? Not right now, I can't.
Oh, of more, something that's more complete, like a bigger snapshot.
Well, I studied last night. When?
Several hours.
Oh, so like...
It could be a long... Like
it could be a long...
So punctiliar would be, I studied at 8 o'clock?
Maybe.
Yeah, 8 o'clock, I opened my book.
Right. Huh?
Like at 8 o'clock, I open
this book.
Like open, having a moment.
There's going to be certain times when, it, I mean, in the context, it's like at that
moment.
In
my mind,
like
it's completed.
Punctiliar.
Yeah, it's
so punctiliar. It is right. Always completed.
But he says
not always punctiliar.
He says when the completed aspect can describe an action that is in fact punctiliar, completed actions are not necessarily punctiliar. So. You could have an action that's completed that is, but not necessarily punctiliar. So, this would be a completed action here. But not all completed actions are punctiliar. But that's way too much time on our topic right now. We'll talk about that in the aorist tense. Okay. 1510. This is important. Voice. Refers to the relationship between the subject and the verb. If the subject does the action of the verb, then the verb is in the active voice. Bill hit the ball. Hit is the active voice because the subject, Bill, did the hitting. So when we talk about voice, we're talking about whether or not the subject did the action or not. That's what we mean by voice. That's the grammatical term, voice. Did the subject do it, or did it happen to him? If it's active, he did it. If the subject received the action of the verb is in the passive voice. Bill was hit by the ball. Was hit is the passive voice because the subject, Bill, was hit. He's being funny here because his name is Bill. The passive voice is formed in English by adding a helping verb was in the above example. So, I am hitting the ball. I'm doing the action as the subject. I am hitting. That's the active voice. I'm being hit by the ball. Kind of hurts, right? Turning my body away. That's passive. So this is passive. This is active. Active voice, passive voice. So that's the grammatical terms. Active and passive. In your mind, you can kind of think passive is getting hit versus hitting. Okay. Another grammatical category is mood. This is where, when I was looking at was and were, and we use was and were in that. That statement from this weekend that I kept staring at. The difference with the mood. Mood refers to the relationship between the verb and reality. A verb is in the indicative mood if it is describing something that is, as opposed to something that may or might be. This includes statements and questions. For example, I am rich. Or are you rich? Yes or no. Every verb you encounter until chapter 26 is in the indicative mood. When you learn other moods, the precise meaning of the indicative will become clearer. So when you parse tense, voice, mood, until chapter 26, you should get it right every time. What will the mood be?
Indicative.
So this is the other good thing. We will only be dealing with reality until chapter 26. Once we get to chapter 26, we'll be dealing with potential reality.
Yeah.
I know. So, through chapter 26, it's I went to the store. I'm going to the store. I will go to the store.
I may go to the store.
We get past 26 is I might go to the store.
So, we're not going to reach 26.
What did I say? In there?
25.
So we will stay in reality the entire semester.
Woo! I feel like I'm outside of reality.
Well, yeah. Wait, how did they have a service?
Because we were here on time.
Because they came with
the... I'm just kidding, I'm late to everything.
I have to bring up
that.
Yeah. Wow. That was a junior high skill.
Oh, my goodness.
But Abraham Bialda loves it so much.
He does.
But he can't
do
it.
He can't do it.
Yeah, he just walks up to me and goes like this.
Yeah, but he can't actually make
a snap
on sound.
Huh?
I haven't done that so long.
Is that on tape?
Yeah, everyone do it.
Okay. Okay. Oh, Abraham loves that. Okay. So, Greek grammar, 15:12. Do not try to learn the Greek forms you see in this chapter. They are given just to expose to you the concepts. We'll start learning the forms later. Okay, agreement. In Greek, the verb agrees with its subject. That makes sense, right? Why does the verb have to agree with the subject?
Because the subject's the one doing the verb, possibly.
Subject's doing the action. But remember, all Greek verbs contain pronouns, right? So that the person number of the subject has to match the person number of the verb. Right? See, I was preparing you for this moment by reminding you of that over and over again. It accomplishes this by using personal endings, which are suffixes added to the end of the verb. So, for example, omega is the first person singular personal ending, and therefore, lego means I say. Usi is the third person personal ending, and therefore legusi means they say, third person plural. The stem aku means to hear. So akuo, akues, akue, akuamen, akuatet, akuusi. We've kept the same stem, we've just changed the personal endings to get the person and a number. 14. Person. As in English, there are three persons. First, second, third. Turn the page. Verb must agree with subject and person. It does this by the right personal ending. Ace is the normal ending for the second person singular. Therefore, if the subject is you, the verb would end in ace. Su legates. You yourself say. Right? Why am I redundant there? The pronoun plus the pronoun and the verb, right? But they're matching. If the subject is we, emes, the verb would end in amen. Emes, legomen, you say, we ourselves. Because the Greek verb always indicates person, the Greek sentence does not require an expressed subject. You guys knew that. The verb by itself can be a complete sentence. Both ego, lego, and just lego means I say. Right? Everyone understands that. That's not even foggy right yet. Good. Number. Another question?
Do all of the, like, the verb forms, or do all, like, verbs decline the same way, or are there multiple, like, patterns?
They're pretty close to all the same way.
Okay. Pretty close. So we're not going to learn, like...
Pulling a mouse. Okay.
Here's another mouse.
Creating
a form. It's easy. Okay.
Just do 40 hours of work? Okay.
15. Number, as with nouns, verbs are either singular or plural. How will we know whether they're singular or plural?
The personal ending.
Tense. The term tense is used differently in Greek grammars from English. It's easy to become confused. Yes, it is. It perhaps would be easiest at first simply to use tense and time interchangeably, but we won't do that. But this would build a misconception into your basic thinking that will constantly get in the way of proper exegesis down the road. Why can we not just say tense has to do with time? What would we be forgetting? Aspect. The kind of action. So, this is past and this is past. Tense. But it's not just the time, is it? There's an aspect there. Super important to get that. So tense is going to be time and aspect. The problem is that in Greek, a tense carries two connections, aspect and time. For example, the aorist tense describes an undefined action or aspect that normally occurred in the past. I use the term tense to refer only to the form of the verb. I use the term time to describe when. So he'll try to help us and separate those kinds of terms in the way he explains it. Aspect, this is perhaps the most difficult concept to grasp in Greek verbs. We guess you might understand it. And yet it is the most important and most misunderstood. The basic genius of the Greek verb is not its ability to indicate when the action of the verb occurs, but what type of action or kind of action it describes, or what we call aspect. There are three. Continuous aspect means the action of the verb is thought of as an ongoing process, like the English continuous. Undefined aspect means that the action of the verb is thought of as a simple event, without commenting on whether or not it is a process. Like I ate. How many bites? I ate that sandwich. How many bites did I use to eat the sandwich?
Undefined. Aspect.
That is the undefined aspect. No, that's good, but that's the undefined aspect. We don't know. The continuous is like viewing a parade from the street. The undefined is like viewing a parade from a helicopter.
Seeing
the whole thing. I get lost in that. I start thinking about parades.
That
makes sense to me.
I'm imagining the whole parade. Chinese New Year parade coming up in LA. What?
There's this Chinese New Year.
Yeah. Have you been to the parade, Chinatown?
No.
Pretty awesome. All the dragons and stuff.
Fireworks?
Firecrackers. Pretty exciting. All the martial arts schools come out with their dancing dragons and stuff. That's pretty cool. Okay. Alright,
so
an example that shows the importance of these distinctions in Jesus' words to his disciples. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny and take up are undefined, while follow is continuous. The aspect of deny and take up does not tell us anything about the nature of those actions except that they're supposed to happen. But the aspect of follow emphasizes that the commitment to discipleship involves a continual action, which in this context is a day-to-day action. See? So, this is when aspect starts becoming more weighty in your interpretation. Another example is Jesus' trial in Mark 15:19. You read, and they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. You get the sense from the English that they beat him over and over again, but you may not get that they spit on him repeatedly. And eptuon is explicitly continuous as a word. They did it over and over again, which is expressed in the TNIV as, again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. This is countered by Jesus' words of forgiveness from the cross. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What this translation obscures is that Jesus said it over and over and again is explicitly continuous. That's heavy, isn't it? Father, forgive him. Father, forgive him. There is a third aspect in Greek, the perfective, but you will not meet it until chapter 25. Okay. All right. They probably didn't know what they were talking about. Sorry. All right. 15:18. Voice. Greek uses a different set of personal endings to differentiate the active from the passive. What did this review? Active voice. What's happening?
The
subject is
human. Passive voice. Subject receiving the action. I eat. Esteo. Esteo mai. I am being eaten. That's not good. Greek has a third voice called the middle. This is when you're like hitting yourself. So, the middle voice can mean that the subject is participating and receiving the action at the same time. I am hitting myself. It does have more nuances than just that, but that will help you remember it. Okay, 15:19. The main components. Here we go. The nitty-gritty. For the time being, I will say that the Greek verb is comprised of three parts. Stem, connecting vowel, and personal ending. Turn the page. The stem of a verb is the part that carries the basic meaning. It is like the stem of a noun. The form luomen means we destroy. The stem is lu. Don't read the footnote. Okay, because I just read it. What's that like when they say, don't look at the
It's
like Ghostbusters. Like, don't look at I forgot to tell you, don't look in the stream. He's like, I just looked. What's going to happen? I just looked in the stream. Okay. That's such a good movie.
So tempting to look at.
Okay. Except for some parts. All right, 15:21. Connecting vowel. Often Greek adds a vowel to the stem. This is to aid in the pronunciation of the word because Greek will also add suffixes after the connecting vowel. Legata means you say. The stem is leg. The connecting vowel is the second epsilon and the te is the personal ending. Alright? As you've seen, personal endings are suffixes that are added to the end of the verb and indicate what?
Person
and number. Parsing. When you parse verbs, I suggest you do it as follows. Person, number, tense, voice, mood, lexical form, definition of inflected form. Does he stick with that in his homework?
Yeah.
have the same
number, tense, voice.
Yeah, he does. Okay. It's funny because it was drilled and drilled and drilled to us. Tense voice, mood, person, number. So tense voice, mood is like right where I go. And when you listen to Mounce's lectures, he'll say tense voice, mood, when he's parsing. But he just does it on his own. For some reason, he's trying to get us to think person, number, I think, to notice the personal ending or something like that. But I always go tense voice, mood. But the workbook matches what he's saying here. So Alexa, for example, legomen, first person plural, and then present active indicative of lego meaning, we'd say. So I would say present active indicative, first person plural. Because the only mood you'll learn for plural is indicative, just keep the same indicative. And then the lexical form of the verbs is the first person singular, present indicative. Okay, so just like in the nouns, we have the nominative singular masculine. What is the lexical form of verbs?
First person singular, present indicative.
Right.
Always.
First person singular, present indicative. That's what we find in the lexicon. It says always. But not this.
Not always.
All right, turn over to chapter 16. Right.
We can do it
some
today, though.
Are you still playing the handwork review through?
English. This is the present active indicative. What do we say when we mean present?
Now.
We're talking about time. We could also be talking about what?
Aspect.
So when we say present tense, so you could write right above there, where it says present active indicative in your book, up here, present active indicative, above the word present, write tense. Everybody. Above the word present, write tense. Above the word active, what do we write?
What about the subject doing?
Voice. That's if you're. Hey, you want to know if you're hitting or getting hit, right?
You got to know the voice is.
Active voice. And what about indicative?
Mood.
That is your mood. We're dealing with the state of reality. So, the present active means that it's happening right now, the subject's doing it, and it's really happening.
So, present active and
indicative.
Active indicative is the voice.
Tense voice and mood.
Tense voice and mood. Bam.
So, all we got to learn now is what the personal ending on the word is and what the actual stem is.
And then we're done.
We're good. Okay, that's where I got to know your vocab.
Easy.
First
yeah.
Okay.
He's laughing. He knows.
Okay, the present indicative describes an action occurring in the present. We know that. Okay, Greek. The present active indicative verb in Greek is basically the same as in English. It describes an action that normally occurs in the present. It can be either a continuous or undefined action. Remember, the time of the verb is from the standpoint of the speaker, writer, not the reader. Highlight that.
Wait, where are you?
16.2, mm-hmm. Second paragraph.
Okay.
He threw this in there, but that is a gem of a truth.
What do you want me to underline or highlight?
Remember. So here says remember.
Bam.
It's like Spock, he says remember. That was a great movie.
The needs of
the outweigh the needs of the few. How many of you have seen Wrath of Khan?
What is that?
That Star Trek thing.
That is like one of the best movies of all time. What's the name of the actor that played
Ricardo Montalban?
Yeah, Ricardo Montalban.
Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban. Fantasy Island guy.
He was ripped in that movie.
Well, I think they were helping him out somehow. I made my boys watch that movie.
The Rapid Con of things.
The Rapid Con. The new one wasn't okay. Okay.
I like the one where they go back in the past to stop the Borg from.
First
Contact.
That was the only Star Trek movie that my wife liked.
She doesn't like the new ones?
And she doesn't really care. But we went and saw First Contact, and she's like, that was a good movie. I was shocked. But there's that one scene when the African-American lady is arguing with him, and she's basically accusing him of being Captain Nemo. There's that exchange right there. You know, and she says, blow up the ship. And he's like, yeah. You know, all that drama.
That's an Academy Award right there.
Yeah. That's
for her, for him.
For both of them. It was a good scene. Alright.
Movie night? Yeah. Movie night in Greek, Baron will translate it all. That's encouraging. Pause.
My wife would probably come watch the movie.
This is the president active indicative.
Yeah. So, and what he just said, let's parse this word.
We have Shakespeare in a Star Trek movie. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Please, Shakespeare.
The chart. 16. Okay, no, what's your. Just put the highlight. That's where I got. That's getting all squawked out there. Remember. The time of the verb is from the standpoint of the speaker writer, not the reader.
Woo!
What is the present to the biblical writer? What is present to the biblical writer may or may not be present to us. This is where a lot of bad interpretation happens. When you are reading the Bible, that the time of the verb that's happening is from the standpoint of the speaker, writer, person, or what's happening in the narrative, not the reader. That's where a lot of error is made. Okay, 16.3, chart. At the beginning of every chapter that introduces a new verbal form, I will include one of these charts. The chart is one of the most important elements of each chapter, so be sure to learn it well. Of course, you must first read through the chapter for it to make sense, but you'll come back to it a lot. In the present tense, a verb is composed of how many parts?
Three.
The present tense stem, the connecting vowel, and personal ending. A personal ending. So what are the three?
We're going to be referring to this a lot.
Yes.
That's the body of verbs.
I want your brain to latch on to something in that description. So you have the present tense, connecting vowel, personal ending, right?
PCP.
I just remembered it.
So what are they?
Present.
You can't read it.
Connecting vowel, primary active, PCP, but I am going to remember now.
Present tense.
Connecting vowel and primary active. Primary. Pape.
Okay. Have I left some parts out?
Stem.
Yes.
What have I left out?
Stem, vowel.
No. All right, someone said primary active. What else did I leave out?
Stem.
Stem. Okay. Those blue cards are extremely important in our categories of understanding things later. The present tense stem. What else might you have here?
Past.
You might have the past or
the
future. But there are a whole lot more. Because the past, we will have a tense stem. Tense tells us what?
It tells us
aspect
and time. I'm sorry.
Right?
Wait, time and time?
Sorry. What time is it?
Aspect.
Time?
Time.
Aspect.
I have not had any coffee today. Okay, time and aspect are coming from the tense, right? How do we know which tense we're dealing with? How will we know what tense we're dealing with?
The
stem.
Wait.
Yeah.
I thought the stem wouldn't change.
Yes.
Wait, say that again? With different stems?
You missed it. Sorry. Yes. The stem will tell us. Which stem we're in will tell us this information. Now, thank goodness that in many of these tenses, they'll be the same. So the ones that are different will really stand out. For example, remember our example of I was versus I am?
Loosing.
But I loosed versus I loose, the aspect component. The past in Greek has two different stems for whether it's continuous or undefined. Okay. So one will be the aorist.
So,
and another one will be the imperfect.
So the stem?
Imperfect. Huh? What question? These are different tenses in the Greek. We're studying this way down the road. I'm just putting this in your brains now so later you have some recall. So, we don't just say the past tense. We say the aorist tense. When we want to talk about something that happened in the past, that is a picture. Or we say an imperfect was when it was in the past, but it was continuous. So that way we'll know what kind of action it was. This is important because this imperfect tense stem is the same stem as the present tense stem. So there's not a lot, there's not change happening. Remember I told you, here's your stem for your present tense, that's your present tense stem meaning what?
Loose,
right? Have we added a personal ending yet?
So, how different stems?
Well, since this imperfect tense stem, which is in the past, is built on the present tense stem, that will be it. How will we know it's in the past? It's an imperfect. No personal ending tells this person a number. Remember I told you in the beginning? We add that in front.
What is that called?
Well, we use the word tense formative. We'll also call that an augment. But that eta took us to the past to form the imperfect.
I know.
It's
imperfect. Continuous
action in the past.
Continuous and aorist is the
aorist is the undefined.
So
right?
For one word, so like
for the blue.
The blue is the stem area.
Okay, so it have a different stem. I don't know how it's possible.
This is where, how are we going to know the difference between the aorist and the imperfect?
Are you saying it would have a different
stem? This is going to have stem change.
Can you display that stem change real quick?
When we get to that chapter.
I just need to see it. I need to see it.
No. No. Okay. So, my whole point here is to not blow your brain up with that.
That's your whole
point. Just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. I
want to relax.
Right? I just wanted to point the fact out that the word stem is important.
Can you redefine whatever stem
is? I don't want you to take for granted the parts of this chart. Because when we go to other charts, we have the future tense stem, the present tense stem, the aorist tense stem.
The stem was like the thing that never changes because that's what lets you know what word it is.
The meaning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's actually a higher level. This is when you get a Jedi Master. There's actually a higher level than stem. That's root.
Oh, that's why you don't use root.
Not yet. You will. But we don't see the root in any deflective form. But it's there. You know, this is getting philosophical.
This is Jedi Council aspect stuff. Yeah.
So you have a root, and the root feeds out these different stems. So the present tense stem is built on this root. The future tense stem is built on this root. Here's the beauty of Luo. When you're dealing with the root Lu, remember he'll put like a little star next to it, right? When you're dealing with the root Lu, and you go to the present tense stem, what is it? It's Lu. So that's why Lu is used in a lot of these examples, because it's very predictable. Right? And there's the words we're going to be dealing with in the beginning are like that. Yeah. But then there will be other vocab where we'll say, we have stem change. Oh, wow, we got to pay attention to that. Okay? But this is all coming later. I'm just pointing out the fact that we need to pay attention to this word stem, the present tense stem. Is how you identify your dealing with present. Connecting vowel. And then primary active personal endings. So, primary is important. This chart that's in here has these four quadrants. We're only focusing on this first quadrant right up here. You'll notice that at the top, under with the master personal ending chart, what's the word right above Luo? Primary. So this whole left side are primary endings. This whole right side, this quadrant up here and the one below it, this whole right side is secondary endings. You don't know what that means yet. But I just wanted to point that out. Primary and secondary. So for a present active indicative, we're going to use primary active endings. You'll notice here these little words on the sides. What are they?
Active and middle or passive.
Right. So active, passive, right? So everything that's on the top half of the quadrant, primary and secondary, are active. Everything below the line is middle passive. So that's why these terms are going to be important. Where is the chart in the book?
Some of you didn't buy the chart.
I found this somewhere.
Were we supposed to buy the chart?
Yeah, I don't know where I got this actually. I'm just thinking about it.
We were supposed to buy the chart.
Running away?
Probably.
I don't think it was me. Obviously, it was me.
Well, yeah, manager is a recommendation.
Okay. I want to find...
In the bookstore, but...
Yeah. Was it recommended or not?
Way back. Let's see.
You think they still got it?
Let me find... Let's see. Here's... I want to find you the whole chart.
Maybe it wasn't in the bookstore.
If you want to go buy it, tell them that I'm requiring it, and they'll give you 35% off.
You have to tell them.
25%.
Well, if they don't believe you, they'll call me.
Oh.
It's only 25%
off. I do it with my school entry guys all the time. You need this book. And then
okay.
God's preparing for me to need this book. Okay.
35%
off. Bam. Don't do that unless I really said it.
Is there something else?
Okay. You said that 35% off them?
Yeah.
Need this whole commentary
I
set.
Yeah.
Whatever the Bible
says,
yes,
I need it.
I'm looking for the number. Oh, Bibles are 35. The chart is on page 187. There's your full chart.
No, I'm trying
to. This page should have a 65 on it.
187.
The master personal ending chart. Master. Yeah. Sorry, whenever I think I say master personal ending chart, it makes me think of Tina Turner.
What?
Master Blaster.
Master Blaster.
I think Master, I think Mary.
Master.
Okay.
That was the weakest of the.
It's a great name. Who runs Bart?
Okay, sorry. All right.
We have Mad Max.
That's not better than Road Warrior.
Oh, it is Mad Max. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. All right. Okay. So we are on page 131. So we're talking about this chart. Present tense stem, connecting vowel, primary active personal endings. So that blue part's important. Personal endings is that whole chart. What part of the chart are primary active?
Top left quadrant.
Only the top left quadrant, which you will find. If you turn over two pages, you'll see the master personal ending chart that only has the one quadrant. That's primary, because it's this side, and it's active, because it's across the top. All of that to say that those blue words are important. Okay? All right. 16.4 in chapter 20, I will discuss in detail the concept of the tense stem. I already explained it to you, didn't I? So that was a preview of what the tense stem is. Like the root versus the tense stem. For now, it is sufficient to say that the tense stem is the most basic form of the verb in a particular tense. It is what is left over when we remove the connecting vowel and personal ending. For example, the stem of luetet is lu. The stem is what carries the basic meaning of the verb. All right, connecting vowel. The connecting vowel, 16.5, is the vowel that connects the stem to the personal ending. In the indicative mood, which is what we're in for the rest of the semester, if the personal ending begins with a mu or a nu, the connecting vowel is what?
Homophone.
The connecting vowel in every other case will be epsilon. No personal ending is used. The connecting vowel can be either. The connecting vowels are the same for all the tenses in the indicative mood. Isn't that great? Yes. Their purpose is to help with pronunciation. It is easier to pronounce leg on them than leg men. Personal ending. Personal ending is added to the connecting vowel in order to designate person and number. This is necessary because the verb must agree with its subject in person and number. One of the advantages of a language using personal ending is that you can tell who is doing the action of the verb because the ending shows person and number. All right. 16-7 primary endings. There are two sets of personal endings you need to learn. Primary are used in the present tense and intensive discussed in chapter 20. We'll discuss secondary endings in chapter 21 and the difference between primary and secondary. So we don't get to the secondary side of the four quadrants until chapter 21. Voice, Greek differentiates the present active, that's this chapter, from the present middle passive, that's chapter 18, by using two different sets of personal endings. Okay, so all that's orientation to say that there is going to be this chart. And the chart has primary and what?
Secondary.
This comes after chapter 21. This side. What separates the top and the bottom?
Voice.
Active.
Passive.
Sorry, middle passive. So that's your voice. Okay? We are only, right now, dealing with primary active personal endings. We're only dealing with this part here. Okay, 16-9. The forms in our paradigms are listed first, second, and third person singular, and then first, second, and third person plural. From left to right, he lists the inflected forms, definition, and connecting vowel, and the personal ending. Connecting vowels and personal endings are colored blue. In some paradigms, he includes a similar paradigm for comparison in the far right column. So once we've learned the form, sometimes we'll put it back in the far right so we can compare. Pay special attention to the connecting vowel personal ending combination and what is happening. This becomes important later on. So, the far right column in 1610 is what the actual personal ending is. But after you connect it with the connecting vowel, the form is what you end up with. So read your columns from right to left. There's your personal endings. Nothing, sigma, iota. Men, ke, nsi. Mu, sigma, iota, right? Gotta know those. Have to know those. Go over to the next page on 134. Look at the master personal ending chart. You can see the inflected forms, but there are the endings. This is what you'll get tested on over and over again.
The right side of
it. Nothing, sigma, iota, men, te, nsi. When I learned Greek, I learned it with the connecting vowel already attached. That's bad. Because later on, what if you don't have a connecting vowel? You need to know the true ending. Yes.
So, like in connecting vowels, for like Lego, you have the connecting vowel, which is the omicron, and there's nothing. So it lengthens.
That's right.
Okay, now my next question is, since there's nothing after, how do I know that the connecting vowel is omicron?
Because omicron and omega are short and long of the same sound, ah and o.
Oh, because of Lego.
Lego and Lego. Yeah. Yeah. So the omicron is lengthening to an omega. Okay, let's look at what's happening between the personal ending and what we end up with in the inflected form. So, the first personal ending is nothing, and the connecting vowel is omicron. Footnote number 6. No personal ending is used, and the connecting vowel omicron lengthens to omega to compensate for the loss. So, lu plus a becomes luo. The second one, sigma, for second person singular, is connected with an epsilon. Because you remember the connecting vowel rules on 16.5? If the personal ending begins with a mu or a nu, the connecting vowel is omicron, and everything else, the connecting vowel is an epsilon. That's that paragraph in 16.5. So this is in everything else. So the connecting vowel is a what? An epsilon. Okay? Footnote 7. I'm going to allow you to look into the footnotes here. Because we go from sigma with epsilon to luace, which is epsilon iota. Why? Why do we have that? Is everyone following me?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
So we're going to have to...
How did we get from this plus this equals this? Where did that iota come from?
Is that the...
It used to be in the...
Is that lengthened?
Yeah. Look at the footnote. The personal ending is actually sigma iota. The sigma dropped out and was evidently added back onto the end. Luace. Became lua, became luace. This is the explanation in Smith. It seems easier to think that the sigma and iota underwent metathesis. Metathesis. That is, they switched places. Just remember that the ending is sigma, and the connecting vowel changes a lot. And we learned that word. So, a simplified form, you said, oh, it lengthened, didn't it? Well, basically something kind of like that you could say. All we need to know is that the true ending is sigma, and that the second person singular ending is luace. Third singular. What's the personal ending?
Yoda.
Yoda. Connecting vowel is epsilon. We get lua. Look at the nitty gritty on footnote 8. The ending actually is tet or t, but the tau dropped out. The original form can be seen in st. Oh. SD, where did you see SD? Where did that come? You see that in your AME chart, right?
Yeah.
So there, see, wacky AME forms are really, there's a correlation, there's a relationship here. We just don't see all that morphology happening. But there is a line of reading to it. Okay, men, and omicron, that's pretty plain, straightforward, we law men. Tet, with epsilon, if you do it at. And NC plus omicron is luci. What happened? The third plural ending can take a movable nu. The nu in the original ending drops out because of the following sigma. Again, the sigma. Just as it does in the accusative plural of the second declension noun. And the connecting vowel, omicron, lengthens to u to compensate for the loss. So, u ansi becomes u asi, which becomes u usi. It is important to remember that the ending actually is nsi, because it will make other forms easier to remember later. So, learning the true personal endings, nothing, sigma, iota, mente, nsi, will help us later on when we see forms. And so that's, I will quiz you on that. But will you, is that what you, are you seeing NC in your Greek sentences? You're not. You're seeing LUUSI. Yes.
These endings, are when they're connected to a different stem, are they going to look different than this even?
If later on, like, you don't have these connecting vowels, then you're not going to see as much change. Okay. Yeah. But just for, there's not too much to memorize and learning it this way. This is one of the things you have to memorize. It's the personal ending chart.
So we need to remember this exact chart?
Well, not yet, but we will be.
Oh.
Memorize it. Okay. You'll notice that the first endings have sometimes been changed when they are actually affixed to the verbs. We are faced here with some of the same dilemma we were in nouns. So we need to learn what the personal endings actually are, but at times they've been modified. Okay. With the primary active endings, it is best to learn the endings as O, Ace, A, Amen, Etz, and Usi, but always be able to identify the connecting vowel in the true personal ending. So that's how I learned it in Greek. OASA, OMINETUS. So it was the connecting vowel and the ending all together. But it's better to do it this way to know what those true endings are. Here he's showing us the master personal ending chart. We already talked about that. Now we'll look at characteristics of the present active indicative. Aspect. The present tense indicates either a continuous or undefined action. So here in the present tense, we can have either I am loosing and I loose are both present tense. Remember I told you in the past we had two different tenses in the past, right? The aorist and the imperfect. Not so here. The present tense is both to be continuous or undefined. It's just one tense. So if you say, I am loosing and I loose, both present tense. That should be a really simple statement. If you're confused by it, it's because it's been 3 hours of this. Okay. Time generally indicates time occurring in the present time. Verbs and personal pronouns. Okay, personal pronouns and the nominative. Because the personal ending indicates person, it is generally unnecessary to supply the personal pronoun as the subject of the sentence. Greek could say, I love Robin by writing ego, agapo, Robin. That's not really a word, but. Or simply agapo, Robin. When a personal pronoun does occur, it's for emphasis or to clarify the gender of the subject, right? We've talked about that before, that you don't have to have that pronoun there. Gender, bullet point down below. When you find alkos in the nominative, it tells you that the gender of the subject, something the personal ending cannot. One note of caution, alkos can be used when the verb is in first or second person. In this case, alkos is translated first or second person and not third. For example, aute leges, second person singular, you speak. Anthropoids might seem to mean she speaks to men. This is incorrect. Auke is merely adding emphasis to the subject, which is you. It should be translated you yourself speak to men. So, they added in auke, right? Auke is typically, remember there's different ways to use auke, autos, right? let's see if I can get your brains to come back here for a minute. Remember, we're almost done. Remember alkos?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What's the number one way we use alkos?
Third
person personal pronoun. Okay? Then you have the intensifier, and what's the other one, the redundant one, the same? Identical, right? Same? Okay. Well, here, alke is added to leges. And they're saying, oh, well, look, there's the grammatical gender is bringing out the natural gender that this is a girl speaking. But the verb leges is not in the third person, is it? So, that's not what it's being used here for. Because the personal pronoun in leges is already there. You. So sometimes in the Greek, they'll put alkos in front of it. It weakens, it doesn't carry the third person form, but it's still intensifying the pronoun in the verb. So it's just putting an emphasis on the you yourself part. That's just a little side note. that is only about 1% of the importance of today. So just to catch it. So that when you do your homework and he gives you an example with it, you'll go, I remember that's in there somewhere, right?
Oh.
One of those nuggets. Okay, on page 136, he also introduces the master verb chart. This is different than the personal ending chart. Master verb chart on 1616, at the end of each chapter and verb, he includes the master verb chart. It lists the different parts of each verbal form. As you learn new verbal forms, the chart will grow. It is the second chart you must learn for verbs, and is in fact the key to the entire verbal system. The full chart in the appendix. There is a column for augmenting and reduplication, and another for tense form. You will not learn what these mean until later chapters, but I already told you today, right? The tense formative? I told you about that, right? For the future, it's signals, right? Okay, you can ignore it for now. The column entitled the first singular paradigm is the form of the paradigm verb in the first person singular. What he means by that is that last column there, first singular paradigm, what word do they use in that chapter to break down the paradigm, to show you the example? What do we use for present active indicative? We use luo. So this is pointing that out there. Now, I will not have you memorize the master verb chart. But if you want to, you could. So you would have the tense stem that's being used. What augment or reduplicating component is there, which we don't have in the present. What tense stem is it? It's the present tense stem. The tense formative, we don't have that in the present. The connecting vowel, we do have omicron as one. And the personal endings, these are primary active. Remember, that's the quadrant. The primary active quadrant. And then the first singular paradigm. So, without any other data in this chart, it's hard to kind of get a picture of it. We could go look at the full chart down later on, but that would be kind of scary. So, we won't do that. I'm not going to have you memorize this chart. We'll just use it as a reference. So if you had this chart and you had the personal ending chart, you could figure out every word as far as what's happening. So it will be a good reference. Okay? Vocab. Akuo. Say akuo.
Akuo.
I hear. Learn, obey, understand. Blepo.
Blepo.
I see or look. Echo, I have, or hold. Say echo.
Echo.
That occurred a lot, right? 700 times. Luo.
Luo.
I lose, untie, or destroy. Only 42 times, such a bummer. Such a nice little word.
Wait, did we skip Lego?
Yeah, we did.
Where is it? Oh, different prints of the book. See? We have a different
print. What printing do you guys have?
How long ago did you buy your book?
A couple years ago.
Oh, that's why. Okay. So this, I need to know that. So this, after Echo has Lego, or before it?
Before.
After Echo.
After Lego.
After Echo, before
Lego.
Okay. That's
not
good. Echo, Lego. I say or speak, correct?
Yeah.
I say, speak. I'm curious where it is right now.
I think it's coming up. It came up in like our translations and stuff.
Yeah. We had it.
I don't believe it was a vocab word. I'm pretty sure it hasn't been a vocab word. It's been in like my homework and stuff.
Though. Yeah, but it hasn't been a vocab.
It was a vocab word in chapter 8.
Oh, right.
In my book, maybe not in yours. See? This is why we have so many variants in the manuscripts of the Greek New Testament.
It's on page 62 in our books.
It is?
Go.
Yeah, so it's quite. Okay, he's just coming back to it. All right. Namas.
Namas.
Is law or principle. Hapu.
Hapu
is where?
Hapu.
Springfield.
That's called now, I remember it.
That's boob.
Pestuo. Pestuo. We've seen the root of that before in nouns, right? I believe, have faith, or trust. Prosopon.
Prosopon.
Is face or appearance. Tate.
Tate.
Then or thereafter. And tuflos.
Tuflos.
Is line.
Oh,
and kera.
Kera.
Joy or delight. Did Stevie Wonder, I didn't read the article, did he have them turn the lights off when he was playing recently? Did you guys see that?
No.
It was some awards thing, and he had them turn out all the lights when he played his music.
That's how he sees it.
That's from his perspective.
Who did that?
Stevie Wonder.
Oh.
I thought I saw that flash by
somewhere. I want to listen to it when all the lights off in the room.
Interesting. Okay, anyway, thought about the blind thing there. Okay, so that's your vocabulary.
Oh, wait, okay.
For next week.
Why is there a bunch of other words?
We will cover that later.
Okay.
Those are.
You want to take a stab?
When they change.
Inflected.
You call that inflection?
No. Yes. In a general sense, there is inflection. Anytime you have change, you have inflection.
Those ones are changing.
But these are here for a specific reason. We've actually talked about enough today that you could understand why those are there.
Past, present, and future.
So the present tense then.
It has to do with these stems. I'll explain it to you and apologize later. Look at a kuo.
Kuo.
A kuo. Then you see a kuon. Okay?
Where?
So that's the right word. Right, learn, obey, understand.
So the first word in parentheses.
First word in parentheses, a kuon.
A kuon.
Okay? Next word. See if you're smart enough to figure this out. A kuso. What is that?
Future.
Ah, the future stem. Future tense stem. Can you go back now and look at a kuon and figure what that is?
Past.
It's in the past because you see that augment ada, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You can still see that ku in there, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that the alpha lengthened to an ada, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the on ending? If you connect these dots, I'm impressed. Think about four quadrants.
Primary active.
This is not primary active, this is what?
Secondary
active ending. But we don't have to worry about that. It's just the fact that you know that. It's cool. Alright, what's a kusa?
Future.
If you follow certain laws,
it's the
ada
future.
Secondary.
Well, the tense formative sigma here is not indicating future, but it's indicating tense change. So the law that supersedes that is that ada in the front.
Past.
So it's in the past. Yeah.
But what
is because, listen to this, and we can think about it later. Because we have more than one tense in the past, we have to have some way to differentiate that.
Mm-hmm.
They both have ada, but there's got to be something that separates the imperfect and the aorist. So that's why there's that sigma.
So is that which one's imperfect and which one's aorist?
The one in parentheses is the imperfect.
Continuous.
The reason, yes, continuous. The reason it's in parentheses is because it's not its own tense stem. It's actually built on the present tense then. It just has the ada.
Is that specifically for this word, or is that...
That's all imperfect.
Okay, and then a kuso.
No way you guys remember all this. I'll be so impressed if you do. Okay, all right. Then, what's a kekoa? You don't know. That's perfect. The perfect tense then.
Oh, perfect.
Why do we then have a dash? Because in the New Testament, For a kuo, there's not an occurrence of that form. That's why there's a dash there.
What form is occurrence?
That is a perfect middle passive form. But there's not in the New Testament, so why learn it?
So how?
Because I want to speak Greek.
How would you even do that in the middle sense?
You don't know what perfect is yet, so that's first. Okay, then the last one. Okay, look at it. A kusefe. Look at the Ada in the front. What does that tell you?
Past.
Also the mirror's past. Now look at there, you see the ku, right? So the ku part is from that root. Remember I told you the way up above part is the root. The roots are above the stem, right? So that's ku. Theta Ada at the end of it is a tense formative that tells us that this is an aorist passive. What it is. Now, if you were to go back to the lexicon, and this only becomes important as we get to more tense forms, but if you go look at verbs in the lexicon, when you come to a verb, like go to page 395, you'll start to notice now. Every time you get to a verb, he has these tense forms. Look at agapao. Agapon, agapeso, agapesa, agapeka, agapeamai, and agapeme. Everyone see that? For agapao. It's the fourth word in the lexicon. So every verb will have these tense forms. And these are the primary ones that we build off of. And now you know that. That has no bearing right now on your homework for this week. But you just know how the lexicon works a little bit better. All you have to worry about right now is present tense stem, connecting vowel, and primary active endings are for the present active indicative. It's happening right now. Subject's doing the action because why? It's in the active. And first, second, third person, and singular, plural, we get from the ending. Present active, indicative. It's happening. Indicative. All right?
Okay, can I have a question?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, so the various two commandments, he uses
Love, or
when they use the word love, it's not like, you know, agape or whatever. It's a
agape word. Is the noun.
It's a noun, okay.
The verb is agapao.
Okay, yeah, he uses that. So when he's describing that type of love, which type of love is it?
Well, in that sense, it's agape. It's the agape.
And we would find that in the context, or?
No, because it's the Greek.
Because it's the word. Because
you would see that word in the text.
Yeah, agapao.
There's other lexical words.
Oh, there's other. Okay, got it. Yeah. No. Yes.
Okay. The vocab, this is for next week. You need to know the vocab for chapter 16. You need to know the master personal ending chart, the primary active ending. So, luo, luis, lue, luan, luete, luusi, right? And the true endings.
Okay, and
the ones are nothing, sigma, yoda, men, te, unsi.
So, wait,
that's on page 134.
But you want us to memorize this?
I want you to know that whole quadrant. Nothing, sigma yoda, not te, unsi. Alright.
How do I know? Is it
okay. Yes. That's what I'm trying to finish.
It's not
for yet. Alright, homework. Besides vocab in that chart, you have parsing 1 through 10. You guys can look at the syllabus, make sure it's confirmed there. 1 through 10 and translation 1 through 8. Pretty short there. Okay. Getting exciting.
Do exercise 16 and the review.
Yeah, we'll turn turn the reviewing right now. Exercise 16, translation is 1 through 8, parsing is 1 through 10. Okay, turn in your review number 3 up here, and we'll see you guys next week. Oh, here's the paper, don't we?
I put my name on both.
So we should have got it. Are we turning in our
your review?
So Baron, I'm confused
about
our
shirt.
So for the parsing, we want to check.
Yep.
And then for the
vocab. Then your master personal learning chart.
Yes.
Pull the primary active part.
Just know that they go to which one is good.
Oh, any blank? We have the.
Also, I ripped out my review because I was running late to get to class. It's in my office. I did it all. That's just one thing that I forgot.
Are you sure you did it?
It sounded good. I have an ear for that type of stuff, so.
Or whatever it was.
Are
you taking in a cookie, Chris?
Yeah, I have done.
And that's the way the cookie crumbs.
Monday night, take off.
I'm only at 2.
After I go to 5. 10. I gotta get up early the next
morning. Just think about why I gotta get to the end of the session.
I want to do it, bro, but it's the only thing we can do right now.
The only thing.
Just keep each other.
Yeah, bro, things are changing over at West Pro. So.
What's going on?
Okay. Moving around with pastors and just some quite a bit of changes.
People getting let go or?
Moving. So.
Oh, I saw. Didn't Ryan's
He's involved with high school.
He's being a high school pastor.
Pastor.
The main guy.
No.
Cool.
So he'll be running Wednesdays.
I might eat him.
What?
He'll be running Wednesday nights.
He'll be running
Wednesday nights. And then
you serve at that.
I'll be serving at that. And then also the high school pastor, co-pastoring, ahead of that, is taking over Legacy.
Oh, James is stepping out?
Yeah. So, things are changing. And then we're having Sunday night, kind of like here.
Oh, like a
like the afterglow.
Oh, you guys, just started. You guys started.
I started up March 1st.
That's awesome.
And then yeah. So
a lot of movement going on.
Bro. A lot of movement. Awesome. And it's kind of a blessing for me because of where God has brought me right now, and the desire to be involved, and now we're definitely moving around. Availability to be involved. Mm.
That's awesome, bro.
So, yeah.
You got water?
No.
I was going to see if you had
it. There's nothing in there. Yeah.
I'm just taking my drugs. Alright, man. I need to grab a bite to eat and do like 3 or 4 touchbacks.
Oh, do it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.